The Wonderful World of Dark Lords, Report 20-12, The Hundred Acre Wood. Once upon a time, a very long time ago, about last Friday, I emerged from the mists to find myself in a massive forest. Before me stood a sign with the mysterious inscription of Trespasser's Will. Trespasser's Will... what? I shuddered to wonder what became of those who entered the forest uninvited. All too soon, I learned what happened to visitors in the Hundred Acre Wood. Alma Madrigal sought to steal my mind, Narcissa to steal my youth, but only the tyrant known as Winnie the Pooh would ever dream of stealing my honey. Welcome to Wonderful World of Dark Lords. I'm Rachel.
I'm Tom.
And we're discussing how to convert Disney movies to Ravenloft Domains of Dread because Winnie the Pooh is public domain and I'm tired of looking over my shoulder for Disney lawyers.
Along the way, we'll look at the Dark Lord, the domain itself, and some plot hooks and adaptation ideas to integrate the setting into your own campaign.
Today's episode, The Mini Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. Now, before we get into our actual discussion of The Mini Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, we need to get into a discussion of Tom's voice.
Yes, indeed. As you may have noticed.
Yes, if you listen to our Big Hero 6 episode, you have already heard Tom being Aslan in his everyday life.
And it's not like we record these back to back to back. This thing just will not go away.
It won't leave him alone.
It will not go away.
Oh, man.
This is week two.
It's not COVID. We can't believe it's not COVID. Like, Fabio is going to do a promotion about this thing. But in proper Winnie the Pooh form, we are drinking tea with lots of honey in it to soothe Tom's throat. Because honey is the oil that makes the machinery of this domain move.
Yes, it is.
And we are going to be discussing today. You know, doing Pooh, like, it's almost redundant after that, like, absolute horror masterpiece.
Right. Film of the decade.
Film of the decade. Yeah, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. Like, this movie, like, you could really tell it was a labor of love.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That was the movie that had been in their hearts.
Yes.
Like, all, like they had
dreamed of it, yeah.
They had so much to say.
I think it started as a student film.
Yeah.
Like Oculus.
They had just, like, so much to say about the deeper themes of Winnie the Pooh and how that interacted with horror. And
you know, like, it's a really interesting thing to look at some of the deeper themes of Winnie the Pooh and how you could put a horrific spin on the idea of childhood, on the idea of nostalgia, on the idea of childhood escapism. And that hasn't come along until the filmmakers used memes and off-the-shelf Halloween masks to make a opportunistic slasher film.
Yeah. Man, aren't we glad that they did. But we can also be opportunistic. And so, you know, since it once again, not only Winnie the Pooh, but this year also Tigger is public domain, then we can take advantage of that and make our take that can serve as a companion piece to Blood and Honey.
Mm, we'll do our best, folks.
So there are a couple of candidates for, you know, who would be the Dark Lord of the Hundred Acre Wood. We're going to talk about, you know, there's really just a embarrassment of riches if you want to talk about these really, like, Byronic figures.
Right, yes.
Yeah. Oh, God, it was really hard to choose. But, you know, we did eventually choose. We decided who our Dark Lord was.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about them in a section we call
The Lord.
The Lord. Winnie the Pooh, a bear of very little brain, rules the Hundred Acre Wood with a sticky golden fist. According to a curmudgeonly heron god named Rabbit, Pooh's love for honey was once more of a passion than an obsession. On one fateful day, however, he attempted to steal honey directly from a beehive, only to be rebuffed by thousands of stingers. Maddened with agony and thwarted ambition, he stumbled to Rabbit's house, where he proceeded to devour every drop of honey in sight, despite promising he would eat just a small helping. Today, Pooh covets honey with an ever-increasing desire, but is gripped with paranoia that he will lose it. The residents of the Hundred Acre Wood have heard him raving about creatures known as heffalumps and woozles, which only Pooh himself seems to see. Pooh is unable to enjoy his honey no matter how much he hoards, convinced these quick, slick, insincere monsters will guzzle up the things he prizes.
So as Rachel was saying, this was an embarrassment of riches for potential Dark Lords, but we decided to take a cue from that horror masterpiece, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, mm-hmm. and say, which of these characters could you buy a off-the-shelf fancy Halloween mask to yeah. use in your actual motion picture?
Yeah, because you could make a very strong argument for Christopher Robin. Mm-hmm. And you know, and all of this is like, you know, doing some kind of like Sienna like thing where he's pulling everyone in and they're right. kind of like all his imagination puppets or whatever.
Right.
You could really do a strong argument for Christopher Robin. But there's no off-the-shelf Halloween mask for Christopher Robin. So, you know, that, yeah, we couldn't do it.
So that just leaves us with our Dark Lord for this setting, Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, and there is also, absolutely, you could make the argument for Rabbit, mm-hmm. because this act of ultimate darkness is trying to make it the Tigger can never
be. Right, that's the darkest
part
of the movie.
Yeah, that's easily the cruelest thing that mm-hmm. anybody does in the entire movie, except for what Pooh does, which we're going to get into. Speaking of Pooh doing cruel things, and you know, the fact that Dark Lords do cruel things, if you're listening to this podcast, chances are that you know who Winnie the Pooh is. I mean, Pooh doesn't know who Winnie the Pooh is.
You have had 92 plus years to
mm-hmm,
find out.
Mm-hmm. But you might not know what a Dark Lord is. Tom, what is a Dark Lord?
Well, a Dark Lord is an evil being who commits some kind of act of ultimate darkness that causes the dark powers to say, "Why, hello, new friend. We want to play with you forever." And so they pluck that evil being up and put them into a domain, which is a special hell tailor-made just for them. There are some great Dark Lords. There are some really not so great Dark Lords. So we have identified four qualities that separate your Strahds from your Urich von Kharkovs. And we're going to go through and describe those four qualities as they apply to the Ur-Dark Lord, Strahd von Zarovich, and then talk about how they apply to Winnie the Pooh. So the first element of a good Dark Lord is the act of ultimate darkness. They don't just do a bunch of evil things here and there and become a Dark Lord through attrition. Strahd, act of ultimate darkness, was, of course, killing his brother because he wanted to get with his brother's fiancée. Our second element is what they call in Van Richten's Guide to Ravenloft, the Torment. Since we're a Disney podcast, we call it, they got what they wanted, they lost what they had. In Strahd's case, it's, you know, congratulations, you did kill your brother, he's out of the way. You have eternal youth, you're not too old for Tatiana anymore, but you're too Strahd for Tatiana. You
he
are
is too Strahd for Tatiana.
You are still you, and you are what she does not want.
Mm-hmm.
Our third element is an element of tragedy and relatability. They aren't just evil for the sake of being evil. Strahd is a horrible incel, but no matter who you are, unrequited love sucks. Our final element is that domain reflects the Dark Lord or their curse in some way. Strahd is the Lord of Barovia, which is spooky gothic vampire land. He is not the Dark Lord of evil steampunk Megalopolis. And Barovia is this boring mud slump to reflect that curse of loneliness. He's lonely because he can't be with Tatiana, and Barovia is such a boring place he can't find anyone to move on with if he wanted to, which he doesn't. So those are our four qualities that we, pulling from that Ur-Dark Lord Strahd, have identified as the thing that make a strong Dark Lord. So Rachel, tell us about how Winnie the Pooh, the Winnie the Pooh. Of Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey, fits those four qualities, and thus is a good Dark Lord.
Well, our first quality is that act of ultimate darkness, which is, of course, eating all of Rabbit's honey.
Right.
And the thing here, it's like we've talked about with some of our other Dark Lords, with like with Shere Khan, or like if you've listened to our Hades Town episode, it's not eating the honey. Pooh eats honey all the time, but he said a small snackerel. And then he ate all the honey. He went against his word and his own moral code.
Pooh arguably does worse things in the course of the movie, like being racist against Heffalumps and Woozles. But in eating all of Rabbit's honey, when he said he wanted a small smackerel, as we mentioned, like with Hades and Hades Town or Shere Khan, he is crossing a moral line mm-hmm. that he has never crossed before.
Yeah,
he's violating, as you said, his own moral code.
Mm-hmm. You know, that leads us to his torment. He got what he wanted. He lost what he had. He got all of Rabbit's honey.
He did.
But the thing is, when you eat all the honey, you've eaten all the honey. You can't have all your honey and eat it, too.
No, you can't.
And so it gives him this almost, like, supernatural craving for honey.
Yes.
That he'll always want more honey. He won't have it. And that's not even getting into the temporary torment of being a wedged bear in a great tightness.
Right, being stuck in a rabbit's door.
Irremovable.
Because his tummy's too full of honey.
Yes. But I hope you enjoyed that honey, Pooh, because that's the last honey you're ever going to have. Because we see, you know, later in the movie, there's, you know, he goes to Owl's house on the blustery day.
Mm-hmm.
Not the Owl house on the blustery day. That's a totally different thing.
No.
But he goes to Owl's house on the the blustery day, and the wind is blowing the house back and forth. Yes. So he's reaching for the honey, and it's sliding back and forth on the table. And then, you know, Tigger comes, and Tigger eats his honey, and he doesn't even enjoy the honey.
Yes, but he's taking it.
Yeah, yeah, because it's a kind of reflect Pooh's original sin of taking honey. And then, you know, we have the Heffalumps and Woozles. Right. He's just sinking into this paranoia.
Right,
just
this fever dream of terror. Honey melting into Woozles. Woozles melting into honey. Heffalumps turning into trains.
Pink Heffalumps on parade.
Yes.
So, just, yeah, that's the thing. Even when he gets honey, he can't enjoy it. And he has to be up all night with his little pop gun marching back and forth protecting his honey. And really, you know, we mentioned Hadestown just kind of in passing, talking about his festivals about darkness.
Right.
But this really, like, there are so many connections between Winnie the Pooh and Mr. Hades.
They have a lot in common.
He imagines his honey in the arms of the sun.
Of Tigger, or a Heffalump.
And that greed, that covetousness is just...
He's so afraid to lose what he has, but it's already gone.
And then, you know, that brings us to that element of tragedy and relatability.
Yes.
We've all had rumblies in our tumblies.
Yes, we have.
And we've all wanted honey. Like Tom, I think that right now you were really, like, feeling that.
Yeah.
I don't want to get too personal here, but with the way that this honey is, like, and the tea is working for you.
Yes.
Like, I hope this is something that you're comfortable sharing, in a public forum, but that you really are struggling with this desire for honey. And it's really a bottomless desire for honey because you finish it and then your throat hurts
again. And then my throat hurts again.
Yeah.
And is a Heffalump going to take it from me before you make another toddy?
That happened last night. And then finally, we have the domain reflecting the personality or the curse. So in the 2011 Winnie the Pooh movie.
Which is really good. You should watch it.
Yes. All joking aside, this is not an April Fool's Day joke. This is fantastic and amazing. Watch it. Okay, we're going back.
It's really appreciated.
So in the 2011 Winnie the Pooh movie, there's a bit where he has the everything is honey.
Yes.
And he's imagining everyone turning into honey.
I'm just saying the word honey over and over
again. All they can say is honey. And that's not what the 100-acre wood is.
No.
Like, the fact that everything isn't honey.
Yes.
Is, if he weren't cursed, maybe everything would be honey. We don't know.
Yes, yes.
And it's so smart. It's so smart that all of them have these unfulfilled longings.
Yes.
That are, like, reflecting Pooh's longing. Rabbit, you know, he's like, he's kind of our Squidward. He just wants to be left alone.
And he wants order. Right.
And, you know, Piglet, he wants to be brave, even though he's such a small animal. Owl just wants to pontificate constantly. Just, you know, Tigger wants to bounce all day.
Right.
And, you know, not have people be annoyed by it.
Sleep and quiet.
Because she's a mom.
Uh-huh.
But none of them can get those things, especially Kanga.
Right, yes.
And that is reflecting that curse that Pooh has of...
Absolutely,
unfulfilled,
yes.
Like, I wonder sometimes if Winnie the Pooh was intended as a Buddhist parable about attachment.
I think A.A. Milne spent time in Tibet.
I think he did. So, that's the reason why we're making Winnie the Pooh a Dark Lord. And as a Dark Lord, he has certain powers. So, you know, some of those powers he has just by nature of what he is, and others are special gifts granted to him by the Dark Powers.
So, we start with that he has base stats similar to a Pooh Bear.
Mm-hmm.
And
that was in Tasha's, right?
It was in the old Mordenkainds. They took out, the new one, they took out the racist stuff in the Pooh Bear. But you can still get it on D&D Beyond if you look for the Legacy section.
Yeah, and I want to say he was in the Fiend Folio, too. So if you look into some of the older material, bingo, then you can find the Pooh Bear there.
And yeah, like, that's enough. Like, the Pooh Bear gives you most of the powers and abilities he needs to replicate what we see in the movie. But we are adding a couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
So we added a couple of powers just to totally replicate what we see in the movie. And one, I think this is an obvious one, it's probably what you would have thought of, is that nose for honey.
Mm-hmm.
That one we have when they're lost in the mist. They're lost in the forest. And he says, I have a nose for honey.
That's one of the most Ravenloft scenes we get in any Disney movie. So they're wandering around in the woods and they can't find their way out because they're in the mist.
Yeah, like hello. Yeah. So he can detect honey. He can tell where honey is. And it's a very PC move, actually, to use that as a navigation thing, to actually be like, well, I know I have honey in my house, so I get to thwart the DM getting me lost by using my detecting honey.
It's like the good old casting locate object.
Exactly.
Like, I locate my bed.
Exactly, yeah. So I can find my way through this maze or whatever. Then also we have, this is Rachel's idea, this is very clever. We want to reflect him being a little Black Rain Cloud.
That's a really important part of his character.
Right, yeah. And it's something your PCs are going to expect to have, like an iconic Winnie the Pooh encounter. So Rachel said he can cast gaseous form, basically at will, but it's a unique version of gaseous form that needs a balloon as the material component.
Yes. You have to have such a thing as a balloon above you.
Exactly. And I love this detail.
Yes, thank you. So, of course, because he's Pooh, he's going to be using gaseous form to try to get honey.
Right.
But as soon as he gets honey, like, he can't really carry it in his gaseous form anyway. Mm-hmm. So even if he's able to touch honey in his gaseous form, like if he were able to figure out some way to like taste or consume it in his gaseous form, the moment he touches honey, it's dispelled, and that way the bees can come after him.
Right. And this is the sort of externalizing that internal torment with the power. So obviously with the nose for honey, that does it automatically because it means he's always aware of honey around him. That he's not going to.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But this is also, he could theoretically use this power to get honey from the bees, but as soon as he touches it, it's gone.
Oh, that's some Tantalus stuff.
And then finally, the power that all Dark Lords have, except Prince John and sort of Shere Khan and sort of Hades, and Mr. Hades, rather. And that is, we've kind of given this already, and that's the closing the borders.
This is one where we see it in the movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Maleficent making the thorns.
Exactly, yeah.
And, you know, it's the fog comes up, and you wander around in circles and are lost. And then you hear those terrifying sounds in the forest.
Right.
And that, like, chases you back into the domain. Like, it functions like a fear spell.
Yeah. So then the final thing we like to do, we have the stat block, we have the powers we've added, we have the sort of character history. And in Van Richten's Guide to Ravenloft, they always have the role-playing trait, ideal, bond, and flaw. And they have these as quotes. And, of course, we like to have them as quotes as well. So we always look for quotes of this of our Dark Lord character that we can use. This was hard because Winnie the Pooh is a very internal character.
Yeah.
So he talks. He has a lot of dialogue. But a lot of it is commenting on, like, the external situation.
Mm-hmm.
But fortunately, we do have that deep desire for honey as a core character trait, so we're able to pull some honey-related quotes.
This was one, like Mater, where, like, there was such an embarrassment of riches. Usually we make a game out of this where we kind of each pick quotes and then go for it. But with this one, we had to present it as a fait accompli, otherwise we'd be here all day.
Yes.
It would be Hades Town all over again.
Uh-huh.
We learned our lesson from that 2.5 hours.
Too many quotes. So why don't you start us off with our role-playing trait?
So our role—this was hard.
This was a hard one.
Our role-playing trait is the only reason for being a bee is to make honey, and the only reason for making honey is so I can eat it.
Yes.
That, you know, it's the focus on honey, it's the childlike self-centeredness, and it's also that very you're not doing poo right if you don't have that circular logic.
Right, exactly.
So that's a very poo kind of sentence.
It's a perfect, like, two sentences which do what we always want to do with this role-playing trait, which is if you are role-playing a scene with Winnie the Pooh, with your PCs interacting with Winnie the Pooh, what's the quote that's going to guide you in role-playing that scene? I think this is, you cannot have a better one than this.
Yeah.
Because when they run into him, he's probably going to be after honey. And you want to communicate to them what honey means to him and his attitude toward it.
Mm-hmm.
And how he brings everything into that quest for honey. The only reason to make honey is so I can eat it.
Yeah.
And perfect quote for that.
Perfect quote. And then for his ideal, we went into the songs for this.
Mm-hmm.
Bears love honey, and I'm a Pooh Bear. So I do care.
I do care.
And this is, he sees his love of honey as being central to his identity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, it's such a crucial part of him. Like, this, it's not just his bond, although, spoilers, it's also his bond.
Yes, yeah.
But it's also his ideal, and he cannot imagine himself, like, if he stopped going after honey,
right,
he wouldn't really be a Pooh Bear anymore,
right,
in his mind.
Because, like, bears love honey.
Yeah. And he's a Pooh Bear.
And he's a Pooh Bear.
So he does care.
Right. And then the bond, this was a little tricky because he a lot of times is talking about honey, but there's like this assumption of the love of honey. We don't have as many quotes where he expresses that honey is so important because that's very assumed.
Other than the ideal, but that had to be his ideal.
That had to be the ideal, yeah. But then Rachel found My favorite thing, talking to Christopher Robin, my favorite thing is me coming to visit you and then you ask, how about a small smackerel of honey?
And this is also really useful for the GM because it also expresses that bond with Christopher Robin, which I think is going to be the main way you'll be able to reach Winnie the Pooh. If you want to resolve this in a non-combat way.
Yes.
Like, I know...
If the PCs just are willing to give him their honey.
Yeah, or, you know, they might be able to appeal to the better angels of his nature with Christopher Robin, too. And, because I know your PCs are really looking forward to that Winnie the Pooh boss fight.
Right, absolutely.
Like, they just, man, he is a tactical beast. And, like, they've read all of, like, you know, the Reddit threads and the, what's it called? The monsters are smart.
The monsters know what they're doing.
The monsters know what they're doing. They've read the monsters know what they're doing entry about Pooh Bears. So
it's like with Strahd, the wall clips, gaseous form, biting. Just watch Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey.
Yeah.
Axe attack.
They're gonna feel like an anticlimax, I know, if they don't get to fight Winnie the Pooh. But if you do have that rare party that's going to want to resolve this through roleplay, Christopher Robin's the way to reach
it. It's good to have the option.
Yeah, yeah.
And then finally, of course, our flaw, and it was just, once again, he doesn't have many quotes where he's talking about loving honey too much. But we did have one perfect example, which was in the scene where he goes to Rabbids right before Act of Ultimate Darkness. Very appropriate. The flaw is connected with that Act of Ultimate Darkness. And he says a small helping. Rabbit gives him a little bit of honey. And this is our flaw quote. I did mean a little larger small helping than that.
He always wants more.
Always wants more.
No matter what he says, he's going to go back on his word and he's going to want more.
Is there any more?
No, there isn't.
Well, I best be going then.
That is our Dark Lord, Winnie the Pooh. And there are so many other characters to talk about in the Hundred Acre Wood and the Hundred Acre Wood itself.
Right, yes.
So we, you know, we can't just talk about Winnie the Pooh
here. Right, much as we like to.
Yeah, we got to keep going and we got to talk about that domain of the Hundred Acre Wood in a section that we like to call
The Land. Okay, that's not enough. Unlike Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, we know this is just funny as a little, like, meme bit.
Not a whole movie with off the rack.
God.
We are not joking about the 2011 Winnie the Pooh watch.
It's really amazing. Good. No, it's really good.
It's so good. We are joking about Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
Yeah.
We haven't seen it. We have no intention of seeing it.
You know what? Like, no. I am comfortable with every one of my judgments of that movie based on the existing knowledge I have.
Yes, yes. But no, 2000 Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, no, it's really
2011
good.
Winnie the Pooh, I mean. Phenomenal.
Yeah, and didn't do that as well in the box office, and it's a dang shame because it is really
it's
good.
So good.
Really
it's
good.
So good.
Happy April Fool's Day, everyone.
Happy day of misrule.
Happy day of chaos and the overturning of expectations and of doing things that are far too dumb for us to actually do in our actual podcast, like having a horror version of 100 Acre Woods. Don't do that.
Don't do that.
That's
stupid. We love Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey was a terrible idea.
Yeah.
And we did actually, you know, in our Discord, which is full of brilliant people, there was, you know, some discussion kind of what we're talking about with the idea of Christopher Robin being the Dark Lord and, like, this creepy, dark fairy tale domain. If you want to do that, you can.
Yes, yes.
We love Winnie the Pooh too much. We don't want to do a dark version of Winnie the Pooh. We love it too much. But
if,
like,
if you want to do a horror Winnie the Pooh, it has to be really thoughtful.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, not dumb.
I know.
And that's hard. Mm-hmm. It's harder to do a really thoughtful thing. So if you're going to do it, be worthy of it.
Yeah, yeah. I would even say if you do... I can't believe we're getting serious in this movie. But I would say if you wanted to do a Winnie the Pooh inspired episode, then, you know, completely change the names. Like, have it be this kid's, like, toy... Like, kind of do, like,
The Justice League episode.
The Justice League episode or Stuffed Fables. Like a dark version of Stuffed Fables where you're, like, having all these stuffed animals and everything, but they're not Winnie the Pooh. Because as soon as you bring Winnie the Pooh in, then it becomes a shock value gag. So
yes. Anyway, back to the funny stuff.
Anyway, back to the funny stuff.
So, happy April Fools.
Happy April Fools.
And we have our actual April episode coming up in a little bit, our normal episode drop time. It is extremely different from Winnie the Pooh.
It's set in a wood.
It is about a woods, yes.
Which is probably at least 100 acres.
Probably more, I would reckon.
Yeah, I would also
acres.
Reckon.
And we are to not taking advantage of that, the time of misrule, to not only continue our tradition of a silly Disney joke episode that lets us check off a property on our list, but also to do an actual episode about a non-Disney animated movie that we really want to do an episode about.
Yes.
And by the way, before we sign off, so I did, obviously, and I hope to your amusement if you're a regular, the four qualities of a Dark Lord applying to Strahd. I had to go listen to an episode and write that down because we don't have that in the script. We don't have that written out. Rachel just always does that off the top of her head. And that is amazing.
I love you.
And I wanted to do it justice. So I had to go in and do the word for word transcription. So every time you hear that, remember, that's not on our script outline.
No.
That's just Rachel extemporaneous.
I love you. If you are a patron, just like last year, we are going to have on the Patreon the all-corpsing outtake.
Yes. And I'll also have the Winnie the Pooh Dark Lord write-up.
Yes, which like is not going to be, it's not going to be patrons only. Just like, yeah. Yeah, Winnie the Pooh Dark Lord write-up is going to be for everyone. All-corpsing is going to be for patrons.
Uh-huh.
But there's a lot of me cracking up at Tom in the all-corpsing because of specific turns of phrase.
Yes, you know? Specific Rachel turns of phrase.
The fact that he said, get with Tatiana, which is something Tom would never say.
No, I would not.
But I say every episode.
So, happy April Fools. See you in about a week and a half for our actual episode,
yes.
Which I'm looking forward to. I hope you're looking forward to as well. And go out and have some fun.
Until then, thank you for listening and happy gaming. Parting thoughts. I fled from the Hundred Acre Wood, clutching my poo sticks and thankful that I had been able to escape with my life. I found myself wondering whether, if I had accompanied him on his expedition to the North Pole, I would have discovered secrets there, perhaps the object of my patron's quest. Holding an aglet as a mist talisman, I thought that perhaps I could embark on an expedition of my own at my destination, a renowned fount of ingenuity and adventure. Perhaps an artificer there could help me build some kind of device to aid me in this quest, a sort of MacGuffinator. Yensid, I know what we're going to do today. Regards. D.
This Pooh Bear's selfish, gluttonous desire for honey puts me in mind of my elder brother's debauchery that nearly destroyed my family's legacy. Perhaps these heffalumps and woozles of his will drown the little sugar degenerate in a giant vat of honey and do us all a favor. Silly old bear.
This has been The Wonderful World of Dark Lords. We have no affiliation with Disney or Wizards of the Coast. All music recordings used in this episode are in the public domain and were obtained through museopen.org. Titles and links are in the show notes. Dialogue for Yensid was written by Azalin Rex himself, who you can follow on Tumblr at Dark Lord Azalin. The Wonderful World of Dark Lords logo was designed by Haylight Jones. You can find links to their work in the show notes. If you'd like to support the show, look for us on patreon.com or find our tip jar on Red Circle. Thanks for listening.
Strahd is a horrible incel, but no matter who you are, unrequited love sucks. That's good tea.
I just, you know, it's one thing when we're doing the pattern and it's all scripted, but this is, you know, you're doing the things that I do off the cuff and just hearing it echoed back.
Yes, no, I gotcha.
Amazing.